3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Let's continue today with the next two chapters of The Christmas Reindeer, written by our old friend Thornton W. Burgess. As we are closing out 2025 and looking forward to 2026, maybe reading more books in the coming year is a goal you have set, or maybe it's getting outside more. I know for me, I want to do more backpacking coming up this year. The other night, we were hanging out with some friends, having dinner, and they told us about a place they went to in Kentucky and did some backpacking. So that was definitely put on our radar for a place for a possible trip, but we'll see. Hopefully, you have some goals in mind for next year. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Chapter 3, Tuktu's Soft Heart. These were happy days for Tuktu and Aklak. Tuktu's only duties were to cook meals for her father and brother. An Eskimo girl learns these things very young, and Tuktu had been taught well. Aklak spent most of his time hunting. Their father did little but sit for long hours, smoking and watching the distant hillsides where the reindeer grazed above the Valley of the Good Spirit. These were lazy, happy days, and Kutok was making the most of them, for the summer was nearly at an end, and he knew that when the herd moved, there would be little time for lazing. Tuktu roamed about picking the flowers that grew in such profusion, and also hunting for the flocks of young ptarmigan, for she dearly loved to watch these pretty chickens of the north. Not for the world would Tuktu have harmed one of them. Not for the world would she have told her brother Aklak how she felt when he brought in ptarmigan and other birds for the cooking pot. But despite the fact that she ate them and enjoyed the eating, there was all the time in her heart a wee feeling of sadness, for Tuktu's heart was the loving heart. Aklak was a good herder and had a way with the deer which some of the older herders might well have envied, but there was no one among all the herders or their families who could go among the deer as freely and unnoticed as could Tuktu. It was as if she held some strange power over the deer people, as if they had accepted her as one of their own number. She could approach the most timid and nervous among the wilder members of the big herds. As for the sled deer, they might balk and strike at others, but never at Tuktu when she harnessed them. She loved them, every one, and seemingly they knew it. So it was that Tuktu found her playmates among the wild people who were not wild with her. Many a time she had stroked a ptarmigan on the nest. Many a time had the arctic hare fed from her fingers. The sea fowl paid no attention to her. Love has a strange way of making itself felt among the wild folk, and the soft heart of Tuktu was soft because of love. So it was that when she found the home of a blue fox about the entrance to which four half-grown little foxes were playing, she did not tell her brother. Each day she would steal away and sit by the entrance to the den, taking with her bits of meat for the little foxes. How she loved to see them roll and tumble about her feet. Sometimes two of them would get hold of the same piece of meat, and there they would be a tug of war. Tuktu's eyes would dance, and she would laugh softly. And then, when one little fox had succeeded in pulling the meat from the other, she would give the loser the extra piece which she always had for that purpose. And a short distance away sat Mother Fox, grinning happily. While she picked the flowers and played with the foxes, and now and then mothered a young ptarmigan that had been lost from the flock, she dreamed of the Valley of the Good Spirit. It seemed such a little distance to the brow of the nearest hill, overlooking that valley, that she couldn't help but wonder what she would see if she should climb up there. But not once did the thought of really doing it enter her head. It was enough for Tuktu that it was forbidden. It was not that she was afraid. She knew that her father was afraid. She knew that Aklak was afraid. She knew that they regarded the good spirit and the valley where he lived with reverence and awe. But Tuktu was not afraid. It was enough for her that the Valley of the Good Spirit was sacred and not to be approached by any other than the dear people. So no matter how great her longing to look down from that hilltop, the thought of actually trying to do such a thing never entered her wildest dreams. She would sit for hours looking over toward the valley and wondering what the dear folk saw therein. Now and again, she could see the deer moving on the upper hills. Once, as she was watching them, she said softly, for she had a way of talking to herself, "I wish I were really a Tuktu, a caribou." "Why?" asked Aklak, who had stolen softly up behind her, just in time to hear what she said. "Because then I might go into the Valley of the Good Spirit, and I might even be chosen by the Good Spirit. Who knows?" Aklak laughed, but it was a good-natured laugh. "It is the reindeer, not the caribou, who go down into the valley," said he. "But the caribou go too," replied Tuktu quickly, "for only this morning I saw a band of them heading that way, and after all the reindeer are but tame caribou." "You saw a band this morning?" exclaimed Aklak excitedly, for all that morning he had been hunting for caribou and had not seen one. Tuktu nodded. "Yes," said she, "and Aklak, I'm glad you didn't see them. I am glad they have gone where you cannot follow, for I would not like to have a caribou killed here, so near to the Valley of the Good Spirit." Aklak opened his mouth for a quick retort, then thought better of it. Perhaps after all, Tuktu was right. Perhaps it were better that there should be no killing of the deer folk so near the Valley of the Good Spirit. He remembered that not even the wolves, nor the great brown bear for whom he was named, ever killed there. Chapter 4. Whitefoot Goes Astray. The two deer pack with which Kutok had moved up near the Valley of the Good Spirit had been kept fastened, each with a long rawhide line. But Kutok well knew that they should be allowed to go free. They would be likely to join the herds over on the hills above the valley. So they were kept tethered by long lines, and each day were moved to a new grazing ground. Sometimes Kutok attended to this, sometimes Aklak. It happened one day that both Kutok and Aklak had gone hunting. Tuktu was not at all lonely, for loneliness is something that Eskimo folk know little about. Had she not the two deer for company, to say nothing of the little foxes with whom she played daily? It was nothing new for her to be left alone while her father and brother went hunting. It was Aklak who had moved the deer to new grazing ground just before starting that morning. Two or three times, Tuktu wandered over to pat them and pet them, as was her habit. When she became sleepy, she lay down for a nap. It was when she awoke from this that she discovered one of the deer had pulled the peg by which he had been fastened and had wandered away. "It must be that Aklak was in too much of a hurry when he drove down that peg," thought Tuktu. "I must find Whitefoot and bring him back, or Father will be very angry. He will blame Aklak, and it will be very unpleasant to have only one deer when it is time to move. Yes, I must find Whitefoot and bring him back." Whitefoot was the deer's name, for his off forefoot was white. Having often helped in the rounding up of strays from the herd, Tuktu was skilled in reading signs. Almost at once, she found traces of the wandering Whitefoot. He was grazing as he moved along, taking a bit now on this side and now on that side. Once she found a little bush in which the dragging peg had become entangled. Whitefoot had broken the branches of the bush and tearing himself free. Tuktu hurried on, for she saw that the course was leading towards the hills above the Valley of the Good Spirit. I must catch him before he gets much farther, thought Tuktu as she hurried on. Father was right. Whitefoot is doing just what Father said the deer would do if they should be free. He is going to join the great herd. I must get him before he gets there, or we shall see no more of him until the herd moves out from the valley. It was warm work, for in summer it becomes unpleasantly hot, even way up there in the Northland. Tuktu was panting and perspiring, and she was growing tired, but not for an instant did she delay. I must get him. I must get him, she kept saying over and over. I must get Whitefoot. At last, from a little rise of ground, she saw the wanderer just going up a little hill. Whitefoot, she called. Whitefoot, stop, Whitefoot. At the sound of her voice, Whitefoot lifted his head and looked back. Whitefoot, Whitefoot, she called, hurrying forward. Whitefoot hesitated. He looked back in the direction in which he had been traveling. Somewhere ahead of him was the great herd. The scent of it was borne to him on the wind. The longing to join it was almost irresistible. Behind him rang the commands of the little mistress he had learned to love and obey. Stop, Whitefoot, stop! His nose demanded obedience to the call of the herd. His ears demanded obedience to the command of his little mistress. Which should he obey? No wonder Whitefoot hesitated. It was not for nothing that Tuktu was known among her companions as Little Fleetfoot. She was out of breath, she was tired, and she was, oh, so hot. But despite all this, she ran now as if she were running a race. Just as Whitefoot decided that the call of the herd must be heeded, Tuktu threw herself forward on the dragging peg at the end of the long line which trailed behind Whitefoot. The decision was no longer his. Tuktu had won. Holding fast to the line, Tuktu seated herself in the grass and slowly drew the reluctant Whitefoot toward her. All the time she talked to him, chiding him for wandering away, telling him how necessary he was, calling him names of endearment in one breath and scolding him in the next. Whitefoot stamped once or twice impatiently. Then, as if having made up his mind that he might as well make the best of the matter, he fell to grazing. For a long time, Tuktu sat there, for as I have said, she was tired. At last she arose. Whitefoot, she said severely, you have made me run a long way. Now you will have to carry me back. As you know, Whitefoot was a pack animal. He had been trained to carry loads on his back. Tuktu had ridden him many times, so it was nothing new for him to feel his little mistress on his back. She turned his head toward camp, and then she saw the white, thick mist of the Arctic fog rolling in from the coast. Already, it had almost reached them.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or You can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.